Are you one of those right-brained people, more creative than logical? You're not good with numbers, so you don't like to budget? Well, how about a spending plan with just three numbers, 50, 30, and 20? It might just be the easiest budget in the world with three simple categories. Follow it, and you can say goodbye to living paycheck to paycheck. Today, Kingdom Advisors President Rob West walks you through this simple spending plan. Then it's your calls at 800-525-7000. Your calls on anything at 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. The 50-30-20 budget, next right here on MoneyWise Live. So, Rob, we've seen articles about this kind of budget for quite a while now, but I don't think we've actually covered it ourselves before on this program. Right. How would you describe it?
Well, I'd call it, Steve, the beginner's budget because it's, frankly, very simple. In fact, it's not unlike the simple JARS system you might use to teach small children about managing money. But just because it's easy doesn't mean it's not effective. If you follow the 50-30-20 budgeting rule, you'll definitely get your finances on track.
Okay, great. All right. So what is the 50, the 30, and the 20?
Yeah. Well, they're simply the percentages of your after-tax income that you put into three categories of the spending plan: needs, wants, and savings for debt repayment.
Okay. Sounds simple enough. But how exactly, then, do you determine your after-tax income? Is it the total of your paychecks each month?
Not precisely. It will probably be a number higher than that because most people have non-tax deductions taken from their check. It could be health insurance premiums, maybe retirement contributions. You have to add back in everything that isn't income or payroll taxes, which are Social Security and Medicare deductions. That gives you the number you have to work with for your three categories.
Okay, so in a some way, that's kind of your net spendable. Is that easy way of saying it? Okay. All right, then. What goes into our three categories at that point? Needs, wants, and saving, or maybe paying back debt?
Well, obviously, needs are the things you absolutely must pay each month. They would include rent or mortgage, car payments, groceries, gasoline, utilities, health insurance. You'll need a minimum amount for clothing in there, of course, as well. All of those can add up to no more than 50% of your budget. Then, in your wants category are things you like to have but aren't essential for living. These might include eating out, cable, gym memberships, subscriptions, and, yes, even vacations. Strictly speaking, Steve, if it doesn't keep you housed, healthy, fed, mobile, and warm or cool as needed, it probably falls in the want category, not a need. Those things can't be more than 30% of your budget. And then finally, you have 20% left over for your emergency fund and retirement investments and or paying down debt. But that last item, paying down debt, gets a bit tricky.
Why is that?
Well, because a portion of the money used to pay down debt actually falls into the needs category. For example, the minimum payments on credit cards, auto and student loans, you have to pay those minimums. So that amount actually goes in the needs column. But any extra payments you make to pay down your debt faster than required would come out of that last 20% of your budget. Extra payments applied to the principal of your mortgage would go into that category as well. Now, if you don't already have 3 to 6 months living expenses in your emergency fund, we talk about this often, you should split that last 20% with half going into short-term savings and the rest applied as extra on your debt. And of course, once your debt's paid off, you can put that whole 20% into savings.
Okay, good. Sounds simple enough, but is there any disadvantage to this 50-30-20 budget?
Yeah. Well, I think that once you've mastered it, you'll probably find that you want to track your spending more closely. And to do that, you'll have to divide up the three categories into smaller ones. But as we said, it's a good beginner's budget.
Okay, and I see that, but why do I feel like there's something missing, some component here?
Yeah, well, because you're absolutely right. There's something very big missing. The 50-30-20 budget is a great plan, but not for believers.
What do you mean by that?
Well, as Christians, we have to modify it a bit. First, because 30% for wants is, well, in my view, perhaps too much and not necessarily good stewardship of the resources the Lord has given us. Second, because we need a giving category, and I would say let's use 10% as a starting place. So to put the MoneyWise stamp of approval on it, I guess it would have to be more like a 50-20-20-10 budget, and actually you could call it the 10-50-20-20 because giving to the Lord should always come first.
All right, we're getting a little heavy number-wise here. Let's come back and chat some more. Here's a number, 800-525-7000. Give us a call right now.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
And now, a discipleship moment. Here's Phil Downer.
It's been 100 days since Jason was found saturated in drugs and with a prostitute. Now he's back running the business he owns and has regular visits with his wife. But how can he stay clean? That's a huge challenge, and without Christ, it's probably impossible. But what can I do to help my friend? Say, folks, are you or someone close to you in such a battle? Galatians 5:13 has one key to success. For you are called to freedom, brethren, only don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So Jason is now helping another man who's only been off drugs about a week. Hello out there. Reach out to someone else today. It will help you and help them.
For some real help in reaching out to your friends, get Phil's book, Eternal Impact. For information on all the resources of the Discipleship Network of America, go to Downer.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live with your host, Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. This is a place where we sort of camp out every day in God's Word, try to understand what God's telling us and teaching us about our money, our finances, what we manage as stewards ourselves. And if we can help you in that regard today, we'd love to, because we have some open lines. We have four or five open lines. So now's a great time to call with your question, your comment, recipes, whatever. 800-525-7. Wow. Not taking recipes. Sorry,
I'm always up for
there.
A good recipe, sure.
Okay. 800-525-7000. All right, just to put a bow on this here, we've been talking about the this concept of a three or a four category budget. And at the end, Rob, you suggested a 10-50-20-20, the 10, of course, being where we start with our giving, right?
Well, yeah, exactly right. You know, I think this is an idea that's gained some traction. You may see it out there in secular financial media and blogs. And so we wanted to cover it. And it is a simple way to get started as we lump these three big ideas into three big categories: needs, wants, and then savings or debt repayment. But clearly, as believers, we should be generous. We should be active givers, giving cheerfully and proportionately as God entrusts his resources to us. And we should do do it off the first and the best. So this idea of starting with, and this is not telling you how to give, it's between you and the Lord, but the idea is starting with 10 as a minimum for giving and then breaking the rest up, 50 for needs, 20 for wants, 20 for savings and debt repayment, can be a nice simple way to get started. Or if you have a budget, perhaps run your current budget through the lens of this 10-50-20-20 just to see where you stand. It might be an eye-opening experience that might cause you to make some changes.
Okay. And if you didn't get all the information we've talked about for the last 5 or 6 minutes, maybe you've been driving, you had to keep your eyes on the road, keep your eyes peeled, drive safe and all that, information about what we just discussed will be in today's show notes. And if you'll give us an hour after the program, that material will start to show up in the notes when you visit our website, moneywiselive.org. Just scroll to the bottom and look for archived radio programs. Rob, let's take some calls. Sioux City, Iowa. Howard, what's your situation there, sir? Hi, Howard, you there? Oh, Howard. Howard, one more time.
There he is.
Okay, Howard, there you go, buddy. How can we help you?
Now I hear you. Well, about 7 years ago, I bought a 57 Thunderbird in rough shape.
Whoa.
I spent about 2 years restoring it, and now I've sold it. And, of course, I sold it and didn't recover all my money. Can I deduct anything from my taxes?
Yeah, Howard, it's a great question. Did you have some fun while you were restoring that?
Fun and a lot of work, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully a good hobby, to something you enjoy. You know, again, I'm not a tax professional, but here's just generally what I would tell you is the IRS regs are stacked against you on this one. You know, you have to report a capital gain on the sale of a car if the sale price exceeds what you paid for it. The reverse isn't true with a loss if it's a personal asset. So IRS topic 409 will say you have a capital gain if you sell it for more than the adjusted basis. You have a capital loss if you sell it for less. But losses from the sale of a personal use property, and that would include a home or a car, aren't tax deductible. An exception would be made only if it were a business asset. But I think a hobby car would certainly be in that personal vehicle category. So unfortunately, I don't think you're going to get any tax benefit to that.
So if I'd sold it and made money on it, then I'd have to pay taxes on it. But since I lost, I don't.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it doesn't seem quite right, and yet that's the way it works with personal use assets.
Okay, well, that was my question. I was wondering.
Hey, Howard, if you don't mind me asking, not trying to make fun of you or anything like that, but okay, you put 2 years into this car, 57 Thunderbird, a very collectible automobile. Why did you not make a profit on it? Was it just the market, or what do you think?
Well, it's just, if you're going to do that, you should buy one already restored. When you start doing the work on them, you end up spending more than what you should.
Okay. All right.
And this one did have a little family sentimental value. We was going to keep it in the family for a while, and now we aren't doing that. So
okay,
yeah, we just
spent
more than we should have on it.
Red, blue, or black, or white? What color was this one?
White with a red interior.
Oh, why didn't you call me, Howard? Oh, my goodness. I don't mean today. I mean then. Well, glad you called today.
It's being picked up in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
It's being picked up in the morning, so maybe you're not too late.
Well, let me call Marcia, and I'll get right back to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Howard.
Let me just tell you,
buddy.
Once he talks to Marcia, it's all over, so just go ahead and say
I know how that goes.
Thanks, Howard.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. Bye.
You bet. All right. Well, if you have a collectible car and you want to chat about it, give us a call, 800-525-7000. El Dorado, Kansas. Hi, Dan. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I just had a question about investing and secondary investing, I guess. 25 years old, been in the workforce for 2 years. I got a good job with a good salary, and I do a matching 401k and all that. I maxed that out. I guess my question would be, after that, with the current state of the economy and whatnot, I work in the oil industry, so you know how that is right now.
I managed to
keep my job anyway. Secondary investing, how much would you put in the stock market? With it being down, I'd like to take as much advantage of that as I can. You know, with it being down and hoping it goes back up. But at the same time, I get to where I look at it and I panic sell and panic buy. I'm just not very good at it. And then so what percentage would you trust to put in there? And then anything else, savings account, bonds, gold potentially? You know, you get some of the talking heads saying you got to buy gold, especially in times like this. So I just got so much information coming in and trying to sort it all out is a problem.
Sure. Well, it's a great question, Dan. And I think, you know, you can simplify it quite a bit as you just think about your overall financial goals and objectives. And I think as we look at the priority order of this, the good news is we can simplify everything down into the money we live on, the money we give, the money we owe for taxes and debt, and then the money we grow. And we want to start really with that giving category, if you will, to say, you know what, we want to be generous. Lord, what would you have me to do? We want to dial in the lifestyle piece and really pray through that and not just automatically assume that our lifestyle is going to rise to the level of our income, but really ask the Lord, what lifestyle have you called me to? How much is enough? And obviously, whatever that is has to fit within the confines of your spending plan. We want to live within God's provision, even though the world, through the use of credit and debt, will allow us to live beyond that. But then we've got to begin to define what we want to do in these other areas. With regard to the O category, you know, if you have some debt, whether that's mortgage debt or consumer debt, how quickly do you want to try to pay that off? And balancing that, of course, with your growing, with the assets that you want to grow, either for short-term or long-term savings. And all of this needs to be really constructed in the context of your values. What's most important to you as a believer? What do you feel like God has for you now and in the future? And again, what is your financial finish line? How generous do you want to be? And again, what does that lifestyle look like? We don't just want to save, and I would include investing in that. We don't want to just save for saving's sake. We want to have clearly defined goals because the extent to which we're continuing to put more and more into the stock market, which isn't a bad thing, but we have limited resources, and so there's always a trade-off. So money going into the market is money that couldn't be given away today or be used for debt reduction. So I think that's really the starting point, Dan, is to really have that financial plan, and maybe you've thought and prayed through that, but clearly identifying kind of what God has for you, where is he leading you, and how does that intersect with your values and priorities? With regard specifically to investments and savings, we would always opt for having that emergency fund as a foundation. That's 3 to 6 months expenses. I think for retirement specifically, I like the idea once you've paid off your consumer debt, you're obviously giving at a level you feel like is where you want to be. And you've got your emergency savings funded, that I think a retirement goal of 10 to 15% of your pay going into a tax-deferred retirement savings plan, and I would include any matching that you're receiving in that 10 to 15%, is a good goal. And if you do that systematically over a long period of time, you'll have, you know, every bit of what you need in retirement, plus Social Security and any other income sources to fund your lifestyle and allow you to be freed up for whatever God calls you to in that season. I think beyond that, I would just simply say, you know, as you look at what additional investing you might want to do beyond that 10 to 15%, just go ahead and define the purpose of it. Is it for a child's college? Is it just for additional, you know, assets that you might want to deploy at some point for a business down the road or, you know, some other purpose? And then I think as you define the time horizon and the goal, then you can really decide what is the best investment strategy. I would say any strategy needs to be well diversified. I would try to, you know, make sure that it's low cost. And with regard to things like gold, I would say probably no more than 5% of your portfolio in gold. So hopefully that gives you some context for where you're headed. Let me do this, though. I'd love for you to stay on the line. We'll have our team get your information there, and we'll send you a copy of the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, which would probably get a bit more granular for you just on how you should begin thinking about your investments and your portfolio construction.
Dan, stay on the line. Let's get that information, and we're glad you called today. Thank you very much. Now, that was Dan. Coming up is Derek. After Derek is Darren. So apparently your name has to begin with D today in order for you to get through, but we'll do the best we can. 800-525-7000. We'd love to chat with you. 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Never think when we are out of words that we are necessarily out of fellowship, because you may be about to enter in to the most mysterious state with God we could possibly be in, where the advocate himself, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, begins to take it up for us. You understand what I'm saying? Here's what happens. Our natural, our human nature's reaction to wordlessness is to retreat. We do it in human relationships. If we haven't got anything to say, frankly, we don't want to go to dinner with them. Wordlessness will often make us retreat. What God is saying in this wonderful paradox is, if you have ever drawn near in your wordlessness, and sit before the throne in it. Because what that does, when you just bring it in that state of powerlessness, wordlessness, when you bring that, bring your sighs, and I mean S-I-G-H-S, bring your tears, sit in your total silence, but do it right before God. Bring it right into the presence. Bring it right into the presence.
Beth and team are thankful for the grace gift to serve you. Your letters, prayers, and support are a vital part of this program. To request this month's thank you gift, text the word gift to 57682. Again, text GIFT to 57682. Or go to bethmoore.org/donate. That's bethmoore.org/donate.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, Giving Your Money and Things to Your Children Without Ruining Their Lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Really nice to have you with us today. Hope your afternoon and your day is going well. Ours is. It goes especially well when we hear from you at 800-525-7000. Spokane, Washington. Andrew, you too are working on an old car, huh?
I am.
We had an earlier caller, in case you're just tuning in, who had been working on a 57 Thunderbird for a couple of years. He hoped to clean it up, sell it, make a profit. That didn't quite happen. What's your situation, Andrew?
I actually got a really good deal on mine. Yeah. I only paid $800 for it, but it's a 1961 AMC Rambler Ambassador with the big, wow, big block 327 in it. Wow. So it's only going to probably take me about $1,500 to get it where I might even be able to make $19,000 or $20,000. I don't know.
You think so?
But now,
huh?
I'm kind of stuck. I'm kind of stuck between keeping it, because I've never had a classic car that I could take my wife, you know, on Saturday or something like that to eat. Keeping it or selling it after I get done with it.
Well, I'm wondering, assuming you're not being semi-facetious here, Andrew, is there a big market? Is there a big market for 61 Ramblers?
Now, from all the ones that I've seen, even that are just rusted to the ground, you know, they're in the $5,000 to $7,000, $8,000 range. And mine's like, you know, probably, it's pretty much pristine. I just got to do some upholstery.
With a 327.
And it's rare because it's got that big, the big motor in it. Most of them were six cylinders.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, I'm kind of, I'll be torn a little bit between selling it or keeping it. I got a good job.
Well, if you can do anywhere close to what you just described, I'd say go ahead and sell it and try to do it again. That would be quite a find and quite a return on investment. There's no question about that. I mean, clearly there's more to it than just the financial piece, but it sounds like you've done quite well for yourself. Hey, we appreciate you weighing in today and telling us your story.
Yeah. Andrew, I think you need to take your wife out for at least one ride. I mean, take her to the burger joint and then maybe the sock hop after that. Get her home in time for her dad's curfew and then sell it. But make sure you guys feel young one more time. 61 Rambler. My gracious me. All right. Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Hey, Derek, how can we help you, my friend?
Hey, how you doing? I've been listening for years, and I finally got through, so
thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm going to try to condense this down. I have so many questions listening for years, but I'm 58 years old, been at my job 26 years, have a lot of medical bills and consumer debt, and I know I need a budget, and I'm just not sure how to start one, where to begin, and you know, I know the debt has gotten out of control with all the medical bills and the consumer debt and the mortgage. And getting close to retirement, I want to try to get this as close under control as possible.
Yes, yes. Well, Derek, first of all, thank you for listening for a long time. And we're grateful to have you a part of the MoneyWise family. You know, you can get on top of this. And I know it probably feels somewhat overwhelming. You've got a lot of these debts hanging out there. You've got retirement looming here. And you want to try to simplify and clean things up and reduce your overall outgo. And really, Derek, the only way to do that, first of all, is just to recognize your role as steward, recognize God's ultimate ownership, recognize beyond that that in His Word, He gives us clear principles about how we should manage His money. But then after that, you've got to have a spending plan. You've got to start tracking everything you're spending, and we've got to get a plan that covers all of your expenses, but then has some margin for debt reduction. I'd also love for you to contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Hold the line. We'll talk some more off air. We got to hit a break.
And this is MoneyWise Live.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi, this is Judy Krohn, executive producer for Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. The Moody Radio Verse of the Week is found in Psalm 119, 16 through 18. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. That's Psalm 119, 16 through 18, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
As we face the issues that affect our lives, we need to see them through God's eyes. We gain that perspective by reading the Bible every day. Today in the Word is a daily devotional from Moody Bible Institute that proclaims the truth of God's Word through reflections on Scripture and insightful articles. They even answer your questions about the Bible and living your life for Christ. Find out how you can have Today in the Word delivered to you at todayintheword.org. todayintheword.org.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The Supreme Court has issued a mixed verdict on demands for President Trump's financial records. The decisions will keep his tax returns, banking, and other documents out of the public eye for the time being. The court kept a hold on the president's financial records that Congress has been seeking for more than a year. That decision came shortly after the court upheld a prosecutor's demand for Mr. Trump's tax returns as part of a grand jury investigation. More than 1.3 million Americans applying for unemployment benefits last week. That's a number that shows that many employers are still laying people off in the face of a resurgent coronavirus. Stocks finished mixed on Wall Street amid worries that recent improvements in the economy may be set to stall. The Dow fell 361 points. The Nasdaq gained 55. This is SRN News.
Whether it's saving, giving, getting out of debt, managing what you have, investing what you have, we're here to discuss it today with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. This is MoneyWise Live. Let's go live to Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Darren. Thanks for holding, sir. And what's your question?
Yes, I got a few questions, if you don't mind.
All right. We'll see what we can do here.
I'm 22 years old, and I have a mortgage payment. I have 40 acres of it. There's no house or nothing on it. And I'm also wondering about, putting money in stocks or bonds. Would I be better off putting my money in stocks and bonds or getting my mortgage payment down?
Yeah, tell me, did I hear you say you have 40 acres and there's no improvements on it, so you just have some raw land? Is that right?
Yeah, just raw land.
All right. And you have a mortgage on that piece of real estate?
Yes. That's pretty much the only debt I have.
Okay. What is the value of that property? Do you know? Have you had it evaluated?
It's $280,000.
Okay. And what do you owe on the mortgage?
Right at $230,000.
Okay. And what is your plan with that property? Are you just holding it for appreciation, or do you plan to build on it someday, or what do you think?
Maybe someday build on it. No plans for sure, but that's kind of thinking about building on it, but nothing like for exact.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, you know, as a young guy, I mean, certainly nothing wrong with land. People have made money on land, and it's very common. It's another asset class, of course. It's a piece of real estate. It has the ability down the road to be improved, and, you know, you can enjoy it personally or you could use it as an investment. I just like, I think for raw land, it just gets so much more complex in terms of, you know, what's the viability in terms of the access and what about the improvements and the utilities and what's going up around it, and are you ever going to get to a place where you're going to do something to improve it, or are you just relying on the dirt to appreciate on its own? And, you know, is it in an area that is going to have some construction coming down the road that would cause it to increase in value more quickly? I mean, I think because of all of these reasons, and it's not something we can generate income from in its current form, I like just more simple, more liquid investments like stocks and bonds as kind of your base. Now, once you have a healthy stock and bond portfolio that's growing for your future, and I would say, use 10 to 15% of your income as a target toward what you're putting into a retirement account in stocks and bonds, certainly you could think about diversifying into other asset classes as long as it fits into your overall financial plan. And that's where I could see real estate being a part of it. But I'd often look toward income producing real estate more so than just land, you know, for the average person. So I do like the idea, Darren, unless there's something I'm missing here or some other reason of you considering trying to sell it. Take the principal that you have, the equity that you have that you'd get out of the property, and use that as the base toward beginning to systematically move into the stock market, both with that money as well as what you might be able to add to it out of your income once you have an emergency fund and once your consumer debt is paid off and assuming you're doing some systematic giving. I think you'd just be happier with that longer term in terms of the performance. Historically speaking, it will do better. And in terms of just the overall liquidity and hassle factor of maintaining a piece of property.
Darren, thank you very much. We appreciate your phone call today. Wish you the best as you work through that decision-making process. Evansville, Indiana. Linda, what's your question for Rob?
Hi, Rob. Yes, my question is, I'm wondering, how do financial advisors make their money? Because I went to one about 2 or 3 years ago, and I've still been going there. And I've met with them 2 or 3 times, and I'm sorry, it's been more times than that, 4 or 5 times. Yeah. But I'm never charged anything for their time, and I've spent like 2 or 3 hours at a time with them.
Yes. Linda, is this a financial advisor who's managing some money for you? Are they do they have an investment portfolio of yours that they're overseeing?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Okay. Yeah, you know, when you say financial advisor, I mean, that can take on all kinds of forms. In the financial professional category, there would be investment professionals. You'd also have financial planners, which would typically, if they're just doing planning services, would charge, you know, hourly or based on an engagement to generate a comprehensive financial plan and then perhaps update it periodically. You have insurance professionals. You have, you know, those that provide accounting and tax services. And I would even lump in there estate planning attorneys. Each would be compensated differently. Typically, an investment professional is either going to be paid based on a commission that's generated from a product that is sold to you. So a mutual fund, for example, that generates a commission could be a way that they generate fees or commissions. If they're selling you an annuity, so that's an insurance product with an investment component to it, that would be generating typically a commission. Otherwise, what's often very common, in fact, increasingly, this is the way advisors are paid who manage money, is based on a percentage of assets under management. So just simply, they would charge a percent of the portfolio on a periodic basis, usually quarterly, for the management of those assets. And that could be anywhere from 0.75% up to 1.5% and maybe even a bit more than 1.5% per year of the total that they're managing. And then for that, they oversee those assets, make the investment decisions on your behalf in light of your goals and objectives. And in some cases, and this is probably true for you based on what you're describing, in some cases, the fee that they're charging to manage the money also includes the financial planning that they're offering, or that may be charged separately. It can go either way. So I think the bottom line is you need to find somebody who really has the experience and the competency you're looking for. I would say find someone who shares your values and understands the counsel of Scripture as it relates to managing God's money. And that's why we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. And you can find CKAs on our website. But then beyond that, I think it's very important and very appropriate, Linda, to ask the question, how do you get paid? Because one of the things that an advisor of any kind should be very willing to do is be completely transparent about how they are compensated. Are they earning commissions? Are they earning fees? Are they earning both? And what was it that you paid over the last 12 months? You know, and you should be able to know that. So I would ask that question, and just so you're aware. And that gives you then a basis to compare that to what others might be doing as well. So I think that's an important part of selecting an advisor and then obviously moving forward in the relationship. Does that make sense?
It does. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You're very welcome, Linda. Thank you for listening and calling today. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Linda, thank you very much. Great question, Rob. People are always wondering, how do I find one, him or her, or how do I interview one? What questions should I ask? I mean, is it at all like finding a physician? Can you sit down and ask some semi-personal questions and try to find someone that way? Is it?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I would say a couple of things, Steve. Number one is you should be interviewing more than one financial advisor before you make your selection. Number two, I think it's really critical that they understand God's word and an eternal perspective of money and share your values. Mm. I think it's also important that they are not trying to just sell you something, but that they're asking you perhaps even more questions than you're asking them, because you want somebody who's going to tailor their strategy to what God's doing in your life, your goals and objectives. And then, of course, in addition to competency and experience, you want to make sure you know how they're getting paid.
Okay, great information as always. Taking your calls today, it's MoneyWise Live with Rob West.
Do you know if you have enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. It's our human nature. It's fun helping someone and not fun hurting anyone. Oh, it might feel good for the moment, but it always turns out hurting you more. Bitterness has its own reward. But helping people in the name of the Lord, that's fun and eternally rewarding. The key is to do it in the name of the Lord. That's when you have the fun of doing it now and the rewards for doing it in heaven, because you've given God the glory. You can always find a fun way to connect God with your well-doing, if only by saying, God bless you and have a good day. Most people see Christians as being angry and stupid and narrow-minded, so even by having fun making people happy and letting them know that you're a Christian, you'll move them closer to God. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
The Bible says that our hearts are sinful, that it's full of evil imaginations.
Billy Graham.
The Bible says that our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the reason Christ said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I ask you tonight, wouldn't you like to have a new heart? Wouldn't you like to have Christ tonight who can forgive the past, give you joy and peace in the present, and change your life for the future? He can do it if you let him. Give your life to Christ tonight. Let him give you a new heart. Make you a new person.
What Jesus Christ offers you is nothing short of revolutionary. If you're ready to surrender your life to him, we can help. Visit us at findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Thanks so much for joining us today. It's MoneyWise Live with your host, Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and Myrick joins us now, calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Myrick, I know you've been there a while. Thank you very much for your patience. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an investment question. So I know you guys say not to try to time the market, but is it ever appropriate to take some funds or some investments that have gained significantly and that make up a big portion of my portfolio, move those into something a little safer to lock in the gains while continuing to have future allocations go back into stocks and similar investments?
Yeah. So, Myrick, are you managing all of your money yourself? Is that right?
Yeah, it's a thrift savings plan account.
I see.
So it's not, you know, I'm not picking individual stocks, but they're classes.
Okay. All right. And so you've got one particular class that's done quite well, but in order to realize that gain, so to speak, you'd have to move out of that. And are you thinking of moving into something more conservative?
Right.
Yeah. You know, I would be hesitant to do that, Myrick, just because that's probably the more aggressive portion of the portfolio. And I think as long as you have a proper diversification, you're going to want that component represented moving forward, just because we don't know where the market's headed. And that may be the portion that's going to outperform, you know, the more conservative or moderate components of the portfolio in the days ahead. Now, if it was a highly appreciated single stock, you know, you had an investment portfolio and you happen to have Tesla in there and, you know, it's up 300%, you say, boy, now's a great time to go ahead and move out of that, get more diversified, lock those profits in. You know, that'd be a completely different story. But to move out of a portion of a TSP where you're having to leave behind one particular more aggressive fund, and that's perhaps the only one of its kind, and move into a more conservative posture with somebody who's still working for a long time and trying to grow this portfolio, I'd be hesitant to do that. I'd just enjoy the fact that that portion of the portfolio is up. It may not be the portion that leads in the days ahead, but that's okay. That's why we try to stay diversified and we don't time the market. So in a TSP specifically, in the type of investing you're doing, I would be hesitant to move out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay, Myrick, God bless you, sir.
Rob, let's say I do have Tesla stock, which I don't. I want to take that 300% that I've earned almost overnight. How does one take your gain or realize your gain? How do I do that, and then what do I do with it?
Yeah, and let me be clear. I just, you know, really want to guard you against trying to, you know, jump in and out of the market, trying to pick winners and losers. You know, that's not a long-term strategy. That can get into a get-rich-quick, you know, market timing thing. But I run into people all the time that say, well, I've got my serious money, and then I have a little bit over here that I like to have some fun with, and, you know, every now and then I might invest in something, and wow, I hit one really big. And so, you know, simply what that means, Steve, is you would just liquidate that position. So you would sell your shares of that stock, which until you do so, you have a paper gain or an unrealized gain. Mm-hmm. As soon as you sell it, you've locked that in. And then if it's in a taxable account, you'd owe some tax on it. If it's in a retirement account, you don't, because it's you know, tax deferred until you pull it out as ordinary income tax. But you just simply liquidate those positions.
All right, great. Orlando, Florida. Hello, Colleen. What's up? How can we help you?
Well, oh. I'm actually in a position now where I have the opportunity to switch to a different job. I currently work for the school system, and I have the opportunity to work in the healthcare system.
Yes.
And I mean, my salary would double. However, I'm 47, and I'm in their retirement system right now. What's called the FRS system. And if I switch jobs, I could stay in the FRS system, but at the year that I'm at right now, and not gain any, and I would have to start a 401k. And at the year that I'm at right now, I'm at year 14, my retirement pension just starts to double as far as how much I'll make per month. And everywhere I've done the math, it doesn't look like a 401k could benefit me in the future like my pension can. Right. So I just wanted to get your feedback on that.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of pieces to this, Colleen. First of all, there's the non-financial side in terms of the position you're in now. and the job that you would be in if you make this change, and just the satisfaction, the ability to use the talents and gifts God's given you, where he's leading you, all of that. And then there's the financial side. And I'm not saying they're mutually exclusive. We need to consider both. But clearly, you know, it sounds like you've done the math, and I would probably agree with you, given what I'm hearing about what will happen with your pension. And by the way, the Florida retirement system is very good and solid. You probably, through those guaranteed increases, will outpace, I would imagine, you know, what you would be able to expect reasonably in terms of just market performance based on historical averages in a 401k that you're contributing to systematically. So if you've run the math and you've, you know, proven that out, then that's a real consideration. So I think at that point, you just have to say, okay, if I'm better off staying here financially, just given everything I know today, and certainly there's no way to guarantee that other than just, you know, comparing what you expect to happen in a 401k to the FRS, then you have to look at that alongside the other component to this, which is, you know, what would it mean to stay in your current job versus making this change? And how do you feel about that? And then ultimately pray through it. And that's a decision that only you can make. But I'm not surprised to hear you say that staying put may make more sense on paper financially. That makes complete sense to me. And so I think you just have to make that one of the considerations as you're evaluating this potential move. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, Colleen, thank you for your call today, and we appreciate it very much. And Steve, you know, it's been a great day today. We've covered a lot of ground. We've talked to a lot of folks. But one of the reasons that it's a great day today is, well, it's somebody's birthday. Whose birthday is it in the MoneyWise family? It is your birthday, my friend. Happy birthday, Steve Moore. And listen, we even got a jingle to celebrate your birthday. But let me just take this opportunity to tell you how much I appreciate you and how thankful I am for you. And I want to wish you a happy, happy, happy birthday and just tell you you're an incredible blessing to me, my friend.
Well, that's very kind of you. I didn't know you knew it. I didn't tell a lot of people. At this point, you don't really want a lot of people to know. And for some reason, the smoke detector just went off here in the studio. not quite sure what caused that, but I appreciate that.
Hey, tell me, is there cake on the horizon tonight? And is it going to be white icing or chocolate cake?
I have a feeling it's going to be coconut cake. That's just my guess.
Okay.
Of course, my granddaughter will be there. She's only three, so she has to get a ride. But I think she'll probably be there nonetheless. But that's very kind of you to mention that. Thank you very much. And thank you for the theme music in the background. It was probably Rich Rousel playing piano.
That was Dan the Man taking care of the theme music today. But, well, on behalf of the entire team here at MoneyWise, we want you to know that we love you and hope you have a wonderful and happy birthday. Hey, we did have one question we didn't get to today. I think Ryan couldn't hold, but he had a great question, and so I wanted to come back to it real quick before we finish up today. And Ryan just said, is it okay to have building wealth as our goal? And, you know, that's a great question because it really gets to the heart of why does God entrust to us what he entrusts to us, however little or however much. Remember the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content in times of plenty and in times of want. And, you know, we all need to find ourselves in that place where we can find contentment. But what about building wealth? Well, we know that one of the reasons God entrusts money to us is to be a good and wise and faithful steward. And clearly the parable of the talent would say seeking a return on that money is very appropriate. So I think we should think about investing as a legitimate use of God's money. But I don't think wealth building for wealth's sake should be our target. You know, achieving true financial freedom is the goal. And what that entails is getting your debt paid off, living on less than you make, preparing for retirement, and oh, by the way, giving generously. But beyond that, I think we want to be free financially so we're not hindered or encumbered in such a way that we can't respond to the leading of the Lord. Well, when wealth is our goal, we run the risk of giving into the love of money and allowing that perhaps to replace God in his rightful position in first place in our lives. So, yes, we want to save, and yes, it's okay to invest, but we need to check our hearts and make sure that ultimately our understanding is that money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. But, Ryan, we appreciate that question today, and sorry you couldn't hold.
So the numbers after the decimal point, that doesn't spell true financial freedom. Could be a million, could be two, could be 10, but that's not financial freedom. And you and I over the years have had the opportunity to meet people that God has blessed with that kind of money. And they will tell you that, yes, it was nice for a while, but it's not what brought peace. It's not what brought God's peace. It's not what brought satisfaction with my family, my ministry here on earth. You know, we find that hard to believe, but in absolute truth. And obviously we find that from Solomon in the Old Testament, that riches are folly, just the acquisition of riches. Well said, Rob West.
No, thank you, Steve. It was a great program today. And again, happy birthday. And we'll look forward to being back here tomorrow.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And thank you for joining us today for my birthday party here. Gifts can be sent directly to my home. We'll give the address off the air. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. And your partnership and your prayers are really vital and integral to everything that we do here. If you have a brief email question for Rob, send it to questions@moneywise.org. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Join us again tomorrow.